CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it's time. It is a brand new week. It's the 11th of April. CliffCentral.com, and you get to wake up in bed together. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that nice? Some pretty special stuff. If you wake up next to someone as many mornings as we have together, I suppose we're in a relationship. All right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so there we go. Embrace it for what it's worth. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Hey, Sia.
Are we in a polyamorous relationship?
We must be, because there are a lot of us.
Yeah.
So we're not committed to each other monogamously.
We have an understanding.
Yeah. Kind of, this is the sort of thing that would fit in right there with the sex show. All right, so what's happening? I see everything is still ticking over nicely. I see everybody's on the roads this morning. My God, there's a lot of traffic. Wow. I don't know if that's because all those people who used to work for the Guptas are now looking for other work.
You mean ever since they left, apparently?
No, they did leave. Mm. With enough luggage for 20 people.
Yeah, they don't travel light.
No, I guess there's a lot of stuff they have to take.
But do they mostly take money, though?
I think so.
It's just bags of money.
I think quite a lot of money, maybe some jewelry. I don't know. I'd love to know what was in those bags.
Who's this third Gupta? There's Atul, AJ, and...
Atul, and there's Tony. Tony lives in Dubai.
Ah. Tony's the Michelle of the Guptas. I always forget him.
Yeah, but he sounds to me like the brains in the business.
But then, Gareth, hang on a second. They wouldn't have needed to take money because Jay-Z's presidential party took all the money 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, they took a lot of the Gupta stuff. So, you know, there's less to carry. But, yeah, that's what we've got so far. It's quite an amazing story, this.
What are you talking about? Did the Guptas leave South Africa over the weekend?
They flew out at like 11 o'clock at night in their private jet from Lanseria. On, what was it, Saturday or Friday night? One of the two.
Well, depending on which publication you're reading it from, some say Thursday night already.
Oh, wow. Sure. There's a lot that can change.
And then the president's son, who was a non-executive director of Shiva Uranium, he resigned.
Yeah, but if you're... First of all, you're non-executive director, so what? And second of all, who owns these companies? The Guptas.
Yeah.
You could resign your position on the board. It doesn't mean that you're giving up your shares. I mean, who would you rather be? Would you rather be a person who owns, I don't know, 500,000 shares in Apple? Or would you want to sit in those dumb meetings every day? You'd rather be the shareholder, right?
Every time.
And the shareholder is the one who makes the decisions at the end of the day, because if you own enough shares in a company, and it's quite possible the Guptas own 100% of all these companies, then you just have to tell the board what to do, and they just do it. Doesn't matter who's on the board. Please, and as for Dudu Zanizuma giving up his shares, they're trying to fix things because now everybody's saying we don't want to work with you. The four of the banks said we will not do business with you. So how can you run a business if you don't have a bank, right? Nobody wants anything to do with these guys. They're poison. And you know what? The president's increasingly finding himself isolated. Who came out this week and said something now? Cheryl Carolus.
Oh, yeah. She's
been talking. There are just more and more people. Even Naledi Pandor over the weekend, she was talking at the Chris Hani commemorations of his assassination. And she said, you know, he would be very disgusted, Chris Hani, in the corruption in the ANC at the moment.
Okay.
That's quite a big thing to say, right?
Yeah.
Well, so, lots to talk about this morning. I didn't know we'd get straight into the Guptas, but they are the biggest story in the news at the moment, and everybody's talking about where they've gone to. There's apparently this luxury, like, estate in Dubai, where the cheapest house is $11 million, and the most expensive one is, like, $714 million. And they're all lock, stock, and barrels moving in there.
But now... has anybody actually ever seen the one where they were staying in Saxonwold? Because that is apparently completely deserted. But were all three brothers living together?
Yeah.
Is my question.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's kind of communal living. It's a big thing with Indian communities in South Africa.
Is Saxonwold the house that they have by the zoo?
Yeah.
Because I drove past that, and it is gigantic. It takes up nearly half the road. You can clearly see it's about two or three houses on the land.
Who was it that came in and they said they used to drive past the Guptas every day?
Roma.
Oh, Roma.
Roman Kaba.
Who hosts the Renegade Report with Jonathan Witte. He said he drives past there every day.
What's his name again?
Roma.
That's the one.
Yeah, he was saying that they've swapped their security. Now, instead of, like, they had a couple of, you know, security guards in uniform outside, then suddenly overnight they had like five times the number of security guards and looked like very mean, like apartheid era white people.
Wow. Big bodies and big muscles and stuff.
So there we go. That's what's happening there. But I mean, if the Guptas have left there, then I want to get in there and see what kind of house they had.
I mean, this is what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah.
And now they're saying that it's completely deserted, so can we not take a tour?
Let's do a tour. I think we should just go there now today and just ask them to let us in. Just say the Guptas told us we've got to come for tea. Oh, you mean they're not here? No, we'll still have tea. Huh?
Sounds like a pretty good plan.
Tea and sweet treats.
Isn't it interesting, though, how much can change? Here's a family who pretty much could do whatever they want for a long time, right? Yeah. Very politically powerful. They would have access to anything and everything, including military bases, to land a wedding party at. I mean, that's power. That's real power. And then one day they're cutting and running like a bunch of criminals. You've got to ask yourself, nobody in the world today, nobody, not the richest people on earth, not the poorest, not the most politically powerful, the least politically powerful, everybody is, you know, expendable. Everyone. Trust me, you think you're the only one in the world that matters? You are so wrong. Everybody is expendable. There's not one person. If the Guptas can fall, which they clearly are in the process of doing, I mean, you know, they may still own these businesses and it makes no difference for the moment, but their political power is over. It's finished. Because the people that they needed in place are the people who are now losing political power.
But does this now mean that Jay-Z is that much weaker because he was living on the back of the Gupta backing, essentially? So
sure, but I reckon they're working on an exit plan right now. I think the writing's on the wall. And that trip to the UAE the other day was all very well timed. There's something going on here. Remember when Idi Amin fled Uganda?
No, I don't remember.
Well, I mean, none of us were alive at the time, but I'll tell you what happened. Idi Amin fled. They took off in a plane in Uganda, and they were gone. They were off to Saudi Arabia, where he spent, I don't know, the last 20, 30 years of his life in relative luxury. He was constantly undergoing medical treatments because he was so unhealthy towards the end. But there we are. He just checked in at the Hotel Saudi Arabia, and, you know, he was fine. He lived a pretty happy life. Despite the fact that he massacred thousands of his own people. So, you know, if Gedleke Giza can make a plan with some of his nefarious friends, all that we know for sure is that he's probably got an exit plan. He's probably figured out already where he's going to go when, you know, shit gets a little bit hairy.
But I think, like, Nkandla was built for that purpose. No matter what goes down, he can be safe there. Because don't you get presidential security?
We can just go in through the cattle culvert or the chicken coop and we've got maps of the place. Now we know exactly what we're dealing with.
So you can imagine him rocking up in Dubai, getting onto the Gupta Island, because no doubt they've built an island.
Oh, sure.
Took like 10 years, but they've built them in their own palm.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm here. And he's got eight wives.
Hey, guys, I'm here. And they've got three or four houses for him and three or four houses for each of the brothers. And they'll have to have like a kennel for Fikile Mbalula as well.
Oh, dear.
You know, because where's he going to go if Zupta falls? If Zupta must fall, then a lot of ministers that really are only there because they're friends with the president will suddenly find themselves unemployed.
But there's a lot of South Africans in Dubai, though. So he's not completely safe there. They'll tell him to get off as well.
Yeah, it's also true. Well, let's see what happens. Isn't this exciting? Aren't you glad you live in a country where things happen?
Never dull day.
Would you prefer to be in Iceland?
No.
But their prime minister resigning last week will be news for the next 6 years. They'll be dining out on that. But man, I would love to swap our news stories. Wouldn't it be nice if our president resigned? I mean, it would be just so, we would be so pleased with him. If the president went on TV tonight and he said, listen, guys, I've miscalculated. I've screwed up. There are a couple of things that haven't gone according to plan. I had the country's best interests at heart, blah, 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 you know? Kind of smooth it over and then say, look, I just want to retire. Wouldn't we, like, run up and kiss him? And say to him, you know what? You can have Nkandla. All discussions closed. You can have Nkandla. Just go away. He could make that deal now, but the longer he waits, the less likely that deal's going to seem. Then he better have an exit strategy to Dubai. Because I think people will tear him limb from limb if he doesn't. All right, so here we are. It's 20 past 6 on a Monday morning. What's going on? Let me go to some messages quickly. There are lots of people here. Who do you think the next Gupta target will be, says Kevin. Well, probably the Emir of Dubai. Sultan of Dubai. Dominic says, those people speaking out are a bunch of dicks. They were silent all this time. Now that the tide is turning, everyone has found their moral compass. Yeah, you know, that's partly true. I kind of welcome anyone who opens up and says what they think and speaks with a clear conscience. I don't mind what they said before. Roman says, the last few weeks there were 6 burly Afrikaans-type guys with rifles. It's empty now as of yesterday. I drive past the Saxon World compound on a daily basis. It's a stand that has 3 different houses and a helipad.
Empty. That's just crazy.
What street is it in?
If you're coming from...
I'm going to look it up on Google Earth.
If you're heading south along Jan Smuts, basically the major left before you get to the zoo. Just take that left, keep driving, 100 meters up on the left-hand side, you can't miss. Or 200 meters up on the left-hand side. Yeah. It's just white, it's huge, and it's everywhere.
Well, if someone knows the actual street address, that would be kind of interesting. I think I've got an idea, thanks to Ben's explanation. Daniel says, I think the ANC's exit plan is to have Zuma fall ill in the next month or two, and then the ex-AU head take over. That's Nkosi Sana Dlamini Zuma. Probably. Lindsay says, good morning, beautiful people. Here is to an awesome week spent with you guys. Yeah, indeed. And Ruane says, I haven't listened in ages, but I'm back, Flax. Because Justin got dreads, do you feel like doing to him what you did to Tupac? A
couple months ago, someone accused me of killing Tupac, and that's now started a trend that Flax killed Tupac.
Well, that would be a horrible
trend. But I did not kill Tupac.
I don't think so. I think you were about 3. Unless you were a very advanced 3-year-old. We can't blame you for that. 1 Saxonwold Drive is apparently the address.
You'll see it's not the prettiest of walls. It's sort of like a concrete wall with like palisading over that, then electric fence over that.
Oh, wow.
You can notice it's out of place.
Like the word compound really does fit.
Okay. All right, lots of other tweets and messages coming through. I see people talking to us on Twitter this morning. You can do that too by tweeting at CliffCentral.com, and you can do that straight from the CliffCentral.com app, which a lot of people are using. Miss South Africa is popping by today. Did you know about that?
I did not, Gareth.
The new Miss South Africa. She'll be joining us a little bit later on. And there's some things in the news that we've got to cover, so plenty of stuff to get to. What have I missed while I was away? Anything exciting?
We started taking song requests.
Which, I know about that.
Which, yeah, went well, let's just say, it was up and down.
Got an email from Luke who suggested a song last week.
Oh.
And we were very mean about his song, so he sent me an email.
Well, look, in our defense, we were channeling the messages on the WeChat screen. But we did give him the benefit of the doubt. And then I played an even worse song just to make him feel better.
Did you have a happy weekend with the Masters, Ben?
It was an amazing weekend, Gareth. It was, firstly, Daniel and I's 3-year anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah, so we went somewhere special on Friday. And then, yeah, watched a lot of the Masters.
When you go somewhere special, does that mean like a fancy meal or something?
Well, the place where we had our first date of 3 years ago, we spent the night there. So, yeah, had dinner there and spent the night there.
Okay.
Oh.
Mub says she wasn't feeling very well this morning, but she's just come out of the bathroom, so I don't know what's going on there. We'll have to interrogate her quickly on her health.
Uh-oh.
We were just talking about you. We want to interrogate you on your health.
Just a little bit of morning sickness.
Morning sickness? So it's true, she is pregnant again.
Dum, dum, dum.
Are you going to abort this one as well?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Just,
you know, the baby father has split already. He's not saying, I can't do the single motherhood thing.
Oh, boy. No, you're not feeling good.
Mm-mm.
You know what I've noticed? Like, while I was down at the coast, I had no nasal or sinus or any of those kinds of problems.
Hey, guys, close the door, please.
Back here, sorry, that's the toilet door. We've got a toilet right next to the studio. It's the one that only Mobile uses.
Very convenient.
Anyway, so I get back up to Joburg and suddenly I feel nasal.
I think it's got to do with the altitude.
It's the altitude.
And the pressure and stuff like that.
I don't
know
what it is, but maybe I should be living at the coast.
All the fresh air that we aren't used to. This weekend, I actually drove to, like, the other part of Midrand. I stepped out of my car, and I was like, what is this?
But
it was actually clean, clear air.
Oh, right.
It didn't feel right.
Oh, that's funny. You're not used to breathing in clean air.
No.
Oh, all right.
Can I please... Sorry, sir, carry on.
No, that's how we all diagnosed it, because we're all, like, clutching our chests, like, no, this is kind of weird. So that's probably what you're feeling in the South Coast as well.
Yeah. There are hardly any people down there. It's quiet.
Can I please make a plea for general health in the nation right now?
Yeah.
It's colder. Wear more clothes. Chance of getting sniffly and contagious with flu, less.
Like, no, I think
it's... You go out... And it's like, okay, you're still in the skirt. It is like 4 degrees outside. Or you're still just wearing a vest.
Ben, I've seen girls at parties in July.
That's parties, though. I'm like, this isn't grocery shopping aisle 4.
And they're in a bikini.
Yeah, but that's fine because they're drunk and it's out and they're living their best lives. But day-to-day stuff, because then suddenly they get flu and then they start touching things and coughing.
Oh, right. Then we all get sick because of them.
Exactly.
All right.
I was speaking to people in Durban. Apparently, their winters there are just lukewarm. Like, it never gets freezing cold where you have to wear jackets. Like, yeah. Like, during the day, you could probably hop in for a quick coldish
swim.
Dude,
it's never cold in Durban. It's never. Right, Sia? You lived there.
Ever.
It's never cold.
Why can't we have that?
Because we are in a completely different environment.
Yeah, because geographically, we're nowhere near Durban. I also noticed that the sun still comes up fairly early there compared to here. I do not like this waking up in the dark thing. That's for the first sign for me that it's going into that cold part of the year. Not nice at all.
And
not
6
pleasant.
O'clock outside, it's dark. That's rubbish. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Start getting dark.
Listen to this. Sinazo says, Ben, you've made me love golf so much that I was willing to stay up until 1 o'clock this morning, even though I have an 8 o'clock lecture this morning, to see who won.
How about that final, huh? When you think it's all done and dusted. Wow. It's like, the thing is, I've loved golf since the age of 14. That's 20 years. And still, it gets me every time what these tournaments can do. It's amazing.
Well, you're the world's biggest Masters fan, I think. Close.
Yeah, I could probably make the top 10, top 50.
And Carla says, Ben, you're an idiot. You don't get the flu from being cold.
Oh, okay, Carla. So are you telling me that when... Okay, no. Let's forget.
Go on, have an argument.
That's not really an argument, though, because when you get cold, you're more susceptible to your immune system taking a dip, right?
Well...
Like, put it this way, if you go sleep outside...
It's a bit of an old wives' tale that if you just dress warmly, you won't get sick.
Well, it definitely helps you.
Yeah, sure.
It prevents you. But if you go sleep outside, Carla... Like, on the roof, like in Bible days, you tell me if you're coughing and sneezing the next day or not.
No, that's a good point. I don't know, but I know it's not just because you're not wearing enough clothes that you get sick.
No, I mean, once a virus or bacteria gets you, it's got you, cold or not. It's got you.
By the balls.
It's not an all-consuming theory, but it definitely helps.
What have we got today? We've got the maid sessions. Have you heard about this?
No.
No.
Special series that we're doing. Domestic workers and cleaners occupy a unique position in society. They're simultaneously the most ubiquitous and invisible among us. The Maid Project advocates these women have the potential to be the most powerful and astute social commentators because they hold a mirror to us, our children, and our fellow citizens. You could be a fly on the wall as we get into discussions with domestic workers on their perspectives on an interesting range of matters. You know, normally domestic workers are never engaged by people outside of work about anything that's political, intellectual, and they have things to say. So this is a very interesting new show, which we'll be bringing you with Mbali Njomani. That's from 9 to 10 this morning. Yeah, take a listen to that. You want your eyes opened? It's really interesting. She sent me some clips last week, and it was really, really fascinating to hear. So take a listen.
Maids also probably know first when your wife or husband are cheating on you.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Like, they know everything.
They know the contents of your underwear drawer.
Oh.
They know everything. They know who's been in and out of your house. They know everything.
So that's episode 2 then.
Oh, yes. You better believe it.
Although in the case of Arnold's maid, she definitely knew because he was cheating with her.
Yeah, Arnold's maid actually bore him a child. By the way, have you seen that child?
Yeah.
Someone sent me a picture of him the other day on email. This kid looks exactly like Arnold. And I don't know how he thought he could have... I don't know how he thought he could have hidden this. You've seen the kid, right?
That kid
describe
is like...
Him, Sia.
That kid has muscles in places I never knew muscles could
give
be.
Me more. Come on.
Right.
Ripped like all hell.
But he does look kind of Hispanic as well, so it's funny because he's like a Hispanic Austrian.
Are we talking about his son Joseph?
The one that he had with the maid.
He's got Patrick, Joseph, daughter Catherine, son Christopher.
No, those are all the ones with
Maria Shriver.
Maria Shriver.
There is Joseph Baena.
Yeah, Viana probably sounds like...
No, man, her name is Esperanza. Isn't it? Consuelo. What is it?
Let's search quickly.
No, I think it is Joseph Baena.
Joseph? Have you seen the picture?
Long hair,
yeah,
ripped.
Yeah. All right, that's him. Compare him to the other kids.
Sort of looks like a Jackson a bit.
A Jackson? No, he looks like a Schwarzenegger. Here's my son. This is the perfect specimen. How did he think he could hide that away? Huh? Arnold begging the maid. How did he think he could hide that? Here's my wife, Maria. These are our three children. This is my maid. Here is the child. It is Joseph, right?
Yeah.
Shame. I bet you he had no say in naming the child or anything. Why should he? Was he paying for the kid now? Must have.
Must be, now that it's all public, because the maid could easily take him to court if she feels like it.
Right, does Joseph hang out with the other kids? Are they like, hey, brother?
Yeah, that might be kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It got added to his Wikipedia page, so he must be paying spousal support.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's the only way we know for sure, right?
It's under children.
Right. Once you come into the children category on someone's Wikipedia page, then they've got to pay for you.
It's official.
Yeah. Before that, not so much. But when that happens, then you know you're in the real high-stakes game. All right. Lots of exciting stuff to get to this morning. Plenty to talk about. I hope you're ready for an excellent day with us and an excellent week. Anthea's standing by to give us a little bit of a look into the markets. And Ben is rearing to go in terms of what the Masters did for him this weekend. So let's get straight into that. Let's go right to it, Ben. Let's not bugger around. Here is Ben Karpinski with the sport.
Yes, Gareth, it was an incredible weekend for the Masters. It was a much tougher tournament this time round. Last year, Jordan Spieth won with 18 under par. So, with the weather looking a little bit cooler and a lot breezier, people were expecting it to be a much tougher Masters, but not as tough as just four guys under par going into the final round. So you go from a guy winning with 18 under to, if you're anywhere under par, you're looking great right now. So Jordan Spieth started out and he was paired with a guy called Smiley Kaufman, who completely blew out yesterday. The occasion got the better of him. And then Rory McIlroy was a few shots back, but also he was nowhere this week. He was kind of close, but then ultimately could never get it where he needed it.
Yep.
Dustin Johnson was thereabouts. And then, like, unlikely people like Lee Westwood were kind of in the mix. And Danny Willett was, like, five or six back. So Jordan Spieth, his final round, well, he had seven birdies in that final round. Seven. And he still lost by three. One of the most amazing Masters meltdowns since, I think it was 96, Greg Norman.
Yeah.
Now, Greg Norman was one of the biggest chokes in world golf, really. He, I think, was 6 or 7 ahead of Nick Faldo. Faldo just basically got up, played a right, and won. Norman just completely imploded. But Jordan Spieth, he was 4 up with 9 to play. He just rattled off 4 birdies in a row. He was 7 under par at that stage. He then bogeyed 10, bogeyed 11, and then quadrupled bogeyed 12th, the 12th hole.
What a mess.
It's all of 150 yards, this 12th hole, right? But it's got these swirling winds. It's in the section of the course where so much happens. And it's got a very small landing area, very thin green. Sorry, very shallow green. So you don't get a lot of... it's not a real bailouts. And they put the pin in a very intriguing position on Sunday, which is like kind of on the right-hand side. And there's this big slope. Everything funnels into the water. Spieth, to his credit, did make a birdie on the very next hole. He birdied 15, but then a bogey on 17. And that was it. So Danny Willett, never would have thought it, but look, he's been amazing on the European Tour for the last couple of years. 5 under 67, it was a flawless round of 5 birdies, and the rest were pars. He is the new Masters champion. Well, made it
Danny Willett is the biggest trending topic on Twitter in South Africa. 114,000 people are talking about him.
What made it kind of tough, even more tough for Spieth, was that because he's the defending champion, he's got to give the new champion the jacket, right?
Right.
So this poor guy, I mean, bear in mind, he's 22. He's like a Masters phenomenon. His first time at the Masters, very first time, he finished second. He probably could have won that one. His second time at the Masters, he leads wire to wire and wins it. This time around, he was just about to do the wire to wire return again, and he just crumbled. And there he is, he's got to give the green jacket to this other guy.
That's got to suck.
There's this amazing picture I'm about to tweet now. And the facial expression, like, he's just gone full Proteas, and he's got to give a jacket to this other guy. But the big star of the night was Danny Willett's brother. He was tweeting up a storm, sitting at home, getting absolutely shit-faced on the couch. And he was tweeting all kinds of things, how he's losing his mind, how he wants his brother to win, because then he can say he took a bath with the Masters champion. And as his brother took the lead, he's like, I can't believe this guy. I punched this guy in the head because he hurt my pet rat when I was growing up. It's just a classic brother getting drunk on the couch, tweeting about his sibling. Absolute gold. So that's the Masters. The South Africans didn't do so well. Only one made the cut, Louis Oosthuizen, who had an incredible hole in one on the final day.
But Ernie just had...
He finished like 15th.
Poor Ernie. It started so badly for him, and it just everybody's talking about him for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I read to me on the weekend about it. Look, it happens to people, unfortunately. You just sort of... Well, you just become you become crippled by the fear of what you're doing.
The yips.
And this is a guy who's been doing this his whole life, and suddenly, out of nowhere, he just has the inability to draw a putter back. It's crazy, but the thing is, from there, he still went on to play like a true champion that he is. In rugby, not true champions, unfortunately. The Blitzbox have cocked it up again. Now, they're a good side. You look at this team, they've got everything. They've got all the aspects you really want. They're really good. Then they play against New Zealand, and they just try very hard to lose. New Zealand aren't a great side. Refs basically help them. The only way New Zealand gets a final and or win these things, if the opponents just capitulate, like the Blitzbox, and the refs do something quite funny. Now, they just never use the width of the field. Sevens is quite a simple game. You create space. You've got so much space on the field anyway. You're playing a full-size rugby field with half the players. Therefore, width and space is what you're looking for, right? You're never going to just barge over guys. That's stupidity. So just too many occasions in that semi-final, the Blitzboks were going for short passes, inside men. All they had to do was just find some space, find some pace out wide. They would have done it. At the end of regulation play, terrible mix-up between Cecil Africa and Sebas Natla. There should have been a try. Okay. And then in extra time itself, again, these opportunities came by. But one of the most curious decisions I've ever seen in professional sport was the ref, in a moment of clarity, he penalized a All Black or New Zealander for a high tackle, right? He then gave the guy a yellow card. But did he give a penalty with that? No, he didn't. He didn't deem it necessary.
Isn't it standard?
That's how rules go, right? The guy, foul play, penalized, you get a penalty. Yellow card, so he's off for a while. But no, he just sort of played on. It's so stupid because from there, the Blitzboks could have taken a shot at goal. They could have gone for a line at the corner. They could have just kept possession. They could have won that match on that movement. But anyway, they probably didn't deserve it in the end. New Zealanders, ironically, did use the width, as I was saying, and they won. But they were never going to beat Fiji. I think either team wouldn't have beaten Fiji in the end. They are just Hong Kong Sevens champions. So, I've completely forgot to phone the guy from Hong Kong.
Oh, well.
Oh, I had a dude.
Oh, well.
Oh,
you should have told Flex.
That's so embarrassing.
He would have remembered. Flax, you're good at remembering these things.
Ben told me, but he said he was going to give me the number, and I clean forgot.
Michael, it's completely my fault.
You know, let's say starting straight away right now that we don't have this kind of gross incompetence, Ben.
Gareth, I know, and that's why I'm not just going to glance over it. I thought I'd mention it right now.
Right.
I admit my flaw.
Good.
That is, yeah. Good. Yeah, I got caught up in the Masters. And anyway, I'm really sorry. Maybe we can chat to the guy tomorrow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Done.
On behalf of
everyone on earth. Yes.
I'm sorry. I really am. It's just terrible.
Embarrassing.
Super Rugby. Yeah, there was lots of that over the weekend. And the Chiefs, well, they had this long, long run of various comprehensive wins, I think you can say. And then it was always going to be a much closer run affair. Chiefs 29, 23 over the Blues. They just came back towards the end. So the true champion Chiefs, they're way ahead at the top of every log that they want to put them into in this new format. The Force there took the Crusaders really close, 19-20, the Crusaders winning that one. And the Stormers looked bloody good, 46-19 over the Sunwolves, with some really amazing tries. They looked very, very good. Sunwolves, I know, on a great side, but the Stormers' attacking abilities, wow, that was quite something. Hurricanes, 40-22 over the Jaguars. The Jaguars clearly aren't ready for this tournament. I thought they'd be a hell of a lot better than what they are now, but it's not to be. The Reds, the big upset of the year so far. The Reds beating the Highlanders, 28-27. Sharks 9, 24, they got pumped by the Lions. The Sharks are in such trouble. They had this rather flattering early season record. They were the longest team to be unbeaten in the tournament. Mm-hmm. But they just got a simple theory. They just think they could bully anyone. They just got no attacking flair. They seem to run into people. It's just old, dumb rugby. And the Lions, they're everything but that. So they scored tries. They won. And our Sharks have lost Marcel Kutsia for the rest of the season through some crash and bash related leg injury. The Kings, they were not good enough. They only scored 6 points.
Are they ever good enough?
Well, they won the week before, and the only match they really could win against the Sunwolves. But the Bulls, business as usual, 38-6. They took a bit of a pounding there to the Kings. Tonight, Marties versus Pukka, 7 o'clock. That will be the Varsity Cup final. Interesting weekend of football as well. Wednesday, basically, is the PSL action proper. That's because Wits and Sundowns play. But Sundowns were in action over the weekend. They were in the CAF Champions League. They made it to the second round. And they play against AS Vita from Uganda. Unfortunately for Sundowns, though, they went down 1-0. They do have a return leg, so they can redeem themselves. But unfortunately, just again, a couple of just too many chances in front of goal when they're begging there. There was a classic chance in the second half, and, well, 1-0 it was against them. In Premier League action, though, mm-hmm. It just looks like Leicester are just going to tie this up. They're just incredible, these guys. Where other teams really struggle and where they always kind of battle to like nail things home, Arsenal being one of them, Leicester just keep winning. They just keep going to these places and they just keep winning. 1-0, 2-0. 2-0 it was over the weekend at Sunderland. I know Sunderland are kind of struggling, but they've become like a... This time of the season, with relegation being what it is, you know, all these teams become quite tricky. So 2-0 there for Leicester. Spurs with a big win over the weekend. Man United, they rocked up late. They blamed London traffic, and they got absolutely pasted 3-0. Stoke, well, they also took a bit of a drubbing. 4-1 against Liverpool, and Arsenal, even mathematically, they're completely out of this race now. They drew 3-3 with West Ham. Man City now looking to chase their third position, and they had a pretty good 2-1 win over West Brom.
All right.
In other action, that pretty much was football rounded up. Yeah, as I said, Wednesday we'll pick up with the ABSA Premiership again. Final story, Gareth, the final story is Manny Pacquiao. Emmanuel Dapitran Pacquiao.
He's retiring, finally, right?
He won his last fight, yeah.
After all this time.
He beat Timothy Bradley Jr. on points. Now, Pacquiao was fighter of the decade, but for many, in the 2000s. And with 57 wins, 38 knockouts, just 6 losses and 2 draws, he'll go down as one of the greatest pound-for-pound fighters ever. A fierce homophobe and a terrible singer, Pacquiao has tried his hand at many, many things now, things that he'll continue in his retirement, with politics also being one of those things. His biggest disappointment, you could probably say, is that he went down to Floyd Mayweather, well past his prime. If that fight could only have taken place maybe 6-7 years ago, it would have meant more.
Oh. So we say goodbye to Manny.
Yeah.
With one of his karaoke favorites. Here he is. Indeed. The great Manny Pacquiao. Just in time for the chorus. I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down. on to much more important things than Manny Pacquiao. You look hard for the money. Time for your real song. So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right. Here she is, Anthea Gardner. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. I'm almost as good a singer as Manny.
Yeah, no, you're way better. Way better.
Thank you.
With your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back. You're still a better singer. So how are you? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was relaxed. I was in Johannesburg, yes. I just caught up with some friends.
No dangerous hobbies?
Not this weekend. No, okay. I left that to Flax. I believe Flax went surfing
this weekend.
You were
doing that? Oh, really?
I went surfing in Durban, and now I know why everyone in Cape Town, Durban, Shore Bay area is so ripped and shredded.
It's
it is so
exercise.
Hard to surf.
Yeah, it's
it uses
tough.
Every muscle in your body.
Yeah. It's pretty tough.
Oh, and you
Sia used to be a champion surfer, right, Sia? Weren't you? I mean, you were.
It's one of those things. What
Durban
can I say?
So, I mean, there was a lot of news this weekend about Oak Bay Investments and the Guptas divesting, or not divesting, but certainly, you know, resigning all the positions on their boards and so on, and getting the hell out of the country.
But you did notice they didn't sell their shareholding,
no,
right?
No, not at all. So they're still there and they're still in control.
Still beneficial owners, yep.
But I did notice that the market, you said you thought it was probably going to be a bit of a down day. We closed just a little bit up.
Yeah, I got that wrong. I'm very happy to say I got that wrong. We were up 0.5% on Friday. Unfortunately for the week, the market was still about down about 50 basis points. You know, I think it's the strong rand that's kind of held the market back a bit last week. So, it is what it is, right? It happens. And Friday, kind of all the indices except gold was higher.
Really?
Yeah. The banks did really well. So Barclays was up over 4% on Friday. And I think that's on news that there might be a buyer for 10% of Barclays Group Africa stake. And I think it's being supported by the PIC. So they haven't said who it is. I don't know where they're going to find the money. I think the stake that Barclays are trying to sell is about 56 billion rands worth.
Huh.
So, yeah. So it's a lot of money for a consortium of locals to put together. It could potentially, and I'm not sure this is confirmed, it could even be a BEE consortium that maybe the PIC are going to fund. And politically, you know, so the PIC are not supposed to be political, but there's no doubt they are. And I think they would definitely spin it that if it's a BEE consortium, it makes sense to keep it local, not to sell it to a Chinese or a Middle Eastern sovereign fund or blah, blah, blah. So I think the PIC would prefer if it was a local. And
okay.
Preferably BEE, I'm sure. That's what I'm thinking.
But then let's hope that it's not the same old people who get into every other BEE deal.
That is the thing. And I don't know how it's not going to be, Gareth.
Yeah. So in other words, ordinary people will just – ordinary black people in this country – they'll spin this as, oh, look, it's black business, but it's not. It's the same elite getting into another deal, making themselves even richer.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that's no good, but, I mean, let's see if it happens.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's still early days, right? Still very early days. And then, of course, the rand strengthened. I just mentioned that. But that mostly was in the back of the fact that South Africa issued a 10-year dollar denominated bond for, what was it, $1.25 billion. So
What does this mean?
Okay.
Remind me.
So go back
to basics.
So you know how the country borrows money. We issue bonds and people buy the bonds and we pay them a coupon. Mm-hmm. So your coupon in South Africa at the moment is about 9% on the 10-year.
Okay.
And that's for local and it's denominated in rands. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the big issue with this downgrade, the S&P downgrade coming in June, or potential S&P downgrade coming in June, was that we were worried that we won't be able to borrow money. And if we were borrowing money, that it would be at very high levels.
Mm-hmm.
But on Friday, or I think it was Thursday evening, actually, they announced that they'd managed to get this bond away. And they normally do it through an auction. So what happens, the National Treasury says, we're raising X amount of money. Who wants to buy some? Investors then go, me, I want to, and I want to buy X amount of bonds. In fact, it was 2 times oversubscribed.
Well, that's good news.
So now, yeah, exactly. So Gordon's trip paid off. So if you were a foreign investor and you thought South Africa was going to get downgraded, would you be buying bonds?
No, maybe not. But this is interesting. So just explain how it actually happened. Are there people sitting in a room? Or is it all
Electronic.
Electronic.
Yeah, it's all electronic. Okay, it's the way we trade.
Pravin doesn't actually stand up there and go, okay, who's in? Who wants some?
Well, it is a bit like that. So he went overseas a couple of weeks ago, right? And he went met with investors. Mm. And he said to
them, who are these investors? I mean,
okay,
again,
so
are these...
PIMCO is probably the biggest fixed income bond fund in the world. Well, I say that.
PIMCO?
Sure. PIMCO. It's a very famous asset manager.
Okay.
Yeah. There's lots of drama around them as well. So there's all these asset managers buying and selling, kind of, one, to make money, two, to secure pension fund money, all sorts of reasons. Right? Mm-hmm. So he goes and he meets them and he says, listen, don't worry. It's okay. I've got this under control. South Africa is not going to be downgraded to junk status, or at least I'm going to do my best to ensure that it's not. And I promise we've got enough money to repay the bond if it ever, mm-hmm. kind of, anything ever happened, blah, blah, blah. And whether or not they believe him is the question. They obviously have believed him.
Two times oversubscribed, I like
mm-hmm.
that.
And then on Thursday evening, what happens? An email goes out to all investors saying, we are issuing the 10-year. We're looking to raise $1.25 billion because that's how much we need to borrow for the next 10 years. Would you like to partake? And investors like myself, we go, yes, please. I'll have 10 million rand, or I'll have 100 million rand, blah, blah, blah. And that's how it happens. And it all happens by email. And then
and what's the upshot for those people? They make 9% over 10 years.
Well, no, because if it's in dollars, the bond actually cleared at 4.875%. So South African government is now paying for offshore money 4.875%, whereas here they're paying 9.1%.
Oh, that's great. That's a good deal for us.
Well, there's something called purchasing power parity, which means that just because it's in dollars, the effect is the exchange rate makes a difference. So we're actually betting that the exchange rate will never be the same because of this differential in our currencies.
Yeah.
It is still high, you know, considering bonds generally, government bonds are trading at near 0% for developed markets. You know, Germany had a 10-year, and I think the bond is now trading negative, actually. So at negative interest rates. I mean, they didn't issue it at negative, but let's say they issued it at 1%, and they always issue it at par. And as the price of the bond changes, the yield changes. And so because people are now running running towards German bunds, if you like, it actually comes out that the yield is negative. So you're getting a negative yield. So you as an investor are not making an interest on this bond. You're just hoping that your money is safe and that the German government will repay the money.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot more than I bargained for here this morning. Okay, well, this is very good news.
Okay, so, yeah, I think it is. Eh? I think Pravin's done his job. Of course, It makes my job a little bit more difficult, because if foreign investors are betting, they kind of are, that we're not going to get downgraded, and we don't know who the investors are, so we don't know what their profile is. So maybe they're people who are allowed to hold junk bonds, because there are those in the world.
But why would they want them? I mean, they would want something that's...
Because they're getting 4.87% yield, whereas in Germany they're getting a negative yield. Or in the US they're getting 0.2%.
Yeah, but there are other things you can do to get more than 4.87%.
That
are also safe bets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there must
be
something...
But you can't have all
your
money.
These people can't be stupid.
No, they're not stupid. That's for sure. No, these are some of the smartest in the world. Or at least I think so.
Yeah.
You can't have all your money in one stock or on just one asset. So you can't only own property. You can't only own equities. And we talk about diversification all the time. So maybe this is just part of the diversification strategy, and they feel they're not going to lose their money. That's fine. South Africa's not going to default. In the next 10 years, we'll be able to repay our bonds. One time on Friday, a huge jump. And it's very interesting because we've had sort of these different parties talking it down. So remember the Saudi deputy crown prince saying he's not going to decrease output until Iran does. And then we had the Kuwaiti governor of OPEC saying, you know what, actually, we could still cap production on oil. And then on Friday, you had one of the pipelines, so a pipeline from Alberta, Canada to Oklahoma in the U.S., they'd stop kind of supply for some reason. I think they had a spill or something. And so, of course, this lowers the inventory numbers in the U.S. So as inventory numbers came out and they were lower than expected, oil suddenly spiked. So now we're looking at higher oil prices again. And it's kind of, it's interesting because you don't know what's going to happen.
What are we at the moment? What's the oil price?
Just about $40.
Okay. Yeah. But it's low. I mean, you know, historically it's quite low.
Yeah, I remember when it hit $150 a barrel. So at 40, that's, yeah. But we have got this meeting of OPEC coming up where they're going to either cap production or not. We'll see. Again.
Sure. All right.
And of course, the upside for us is kind of Sasol has a little bounce, or, and that's pretty much it. And then we worry about inflation because that'll push inflation higher.
Sure. Certainly.
Mm. Yeah. And then... Okay. What else did we have?
ABF.
You saw that, right? So Associated British Foods have made a 25 rand per share offer for the balance of Illovo shares. So they already own...
It's the sugar company.
That's right, yes. So initially they offered 20 rand a share.
Yeah.
Now they up their offer to 25, and it looks like shareholders are going to take it. The share was up 15% on Friday, Illovo was, which is interesting that they've upped their offer because sugar's gone up a little bit, international sugar prices, but not that much to warrant such a premium. So I think they're still, I mean, a lot of people are saying that ABF have taken advantage of the fact that sugar prices have fallen and that our sugar companies are in trouble and that we've had drought, and that's why they're buying Illovo. But actually, if they're upping their offer, that's not a bad thing. And ABF, Associated British Foods, are a company that own sugar plantations in Spain and somewhere else in Europe, I can't remember. But they also own the clothing retailer Primark. Hmm. And Primark are really like... I suppose we call them fast fashion, or kind of like H&M, you know, so the lower end of the fashion retail. So it's an interesting phenomenon. The flip side of this actually is, so sugar prices have bounced a little bit, but Tongaat, you know, this is one we always talk about.
I know. We've been hanging on to it, waiting for them to sell this property. Are they dropping down in the meantime?
No. So Tongaat's had a nice little bounce as well. So it's about 106 rand something a share at the moment. And I'm not sure that it's on the back of sugar prices, because sugar has spiked, international sugar prices, but sugar only makes up 15% of Tongaat's revenue. So I'm not sure.
That's amazing. You called Tongaat sugar, but you about 5% of your revenue is made up by sugar.
Yeah. Well that's how the world changes, though.
I read a fascinating article last night while I was falling asleep about sugar and how it's the enemy, and... Actually, sugar is the most deadly poison that you put into your body every day, particularly fructose.
I've heard this, yes.
Oh, yeah. And now, you know, people have been, for the last 3 decades, they've been saying saturated fat is the enemy. But actually, it turns out it's sugar.
Yeah.
So sooner or later, people are going to be saying, we don't want so much sugar.
But we've been guessing that that's why the sugar price has fallen, because of all these articles saying how bad sugar is, and apparently it's more addictive than cocaine, and all these stories. And that's why big companies are trying to use less sugar, basically.
Right. Mm. Well, let's see what happens. But if you were an owner of some Illovo shares on Friday, you had a very good day.
You would have made 15% in one day, which is not a bad thing. And then talk about, on the same topic, sort of commodities. Uh-huh. On Friday, the finance ministry said that they had approved an increase in the price of wheat import duty. So this is almost protectionism, really, because what they're saying is they've approved a 34% increase, right? Sure. So you can now charge, so now we're charging sort of as South Africans, 1,224 rand per ton, where we used to charge 911 rand a ton. And the reason for that is because they want to protect the farmers. So the local farmers have had drought. They're producing wheat, but not as much. And actually what has happened is that the international wheat price, and because of the rand, has fallen below where we were selling it. Unfortunately, though, South Africa still imports 60% of its wheat. And so I think this is going to, the ministry say that it's not going to have an impact on inflation or bread too much, because wheat only is between 15 to 20% of a loaf of bread.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. Also, surely at the end, if you're a wheat importer into South Africa, you're just going to end up charging more for, in other words, to cover the duties.
Of course. And so us as the consumer suffers, right?
Right.
So unfortunately, that's exactly what happens. But they've allowed it. It's a 34% increase. Of course, it gets lowered as it reaches kind of the consumer or the ground because of this 15% allocation. But it's still big, you know.
So. Now, apparently you went to a meeting at the Old Stock Exchange.
I did on Friday. And I've got a picture. I'll tweet it, actually, of the old trading board. And it's all like it's a blackboard with chalk
in
numbers.
Chalk, yeah.
Yes. Which is totally bizarre.
That's how the stock exchange used to work, and people would be shouting at each
That's
other across
right.
the
and
floor.
That's right, and they'd have these hand signs of sell and buy, and some guy would literally run up and down the ledge, putting up the trades, writing it, wiping out the chalk and rewriting the new price. And I had a look at some of the prices that traded. So some of the things that were still listed, for example, Pick and Pay was trading.
What year are we talking about?
1978. Okay. So this was the June, I think, 1978. Pick and Pay was trading at R2.20 a share. Wow. Today, R70.
Wow.
Woolworths, R4.30 a share. Today, R85.
Huh.
And talk about sugar.
Yeah.
Hewlett's, which became Tongaat, was trading at R2.30 a share. And I've just told you it's R106 a share, right? And then there's some other things. Like there was I&J was on there listed for 93 cents was the last trade. But I can't tell you what that is now because I&J is now owned by AVI Brands. And there's a whole lot of things that have changed and kind of, you know, different companies.
Because that's like going into a museum of what you do every day.
Exactly. It was very exciting for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and like the whole history of the stock exchange, because the stock exchange only became electronic in 1996. So, wow. Yeah, 108 years after the first kind of stock exchange was established. And, you know, the stock exchange was only established a year after they discovered gold in Johannesburg. I mean, they move fast, eh?
That's quick.
Yeah. So.
But what a nice piece of history.
Yeah, it was very interesting indeed.
Fantastic as always. Any expectations for today?
We should have Zeda's results today. That'll be interesting because especially with what's going on in the wheat. And you know wheat is grown in winter, so we should have some idea of whether or not they're planting or whether they're selling. We'll see. I mean, it's a difficult one. You know, they put out a trading statement last week saying earnings per share would be up 153%. Uh-huh. But that's not how we look at it, right? We want to see what's happening in the underlying companies. And then I'll let you know tomorrow.
Thank you very much. There we go. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets this morning. We will be back in a moment with the news with Mabale Moloi. That's coming up next. CliffCentral.com.